Hey, I'm John and this is your open source news element sponsored by element.fm. Get unlimited podcast hosting for just $5 at element.fm. Now to the news. This week, we're exploring how the British Army is reshaping its training programs by turning to an unlikely source, video games. That's right, the military is now using popular titles like Call of Duty to help its soldiers get ready for real-world combat situations. The idea behind this move is to tap into technology that most recruits are already familiar with, making training more engaging and relatable for the new generation coming in. General Sir Tom Coppinger-Symes, who is the Deputy Commander of the Cyber and Specialist Operations Command, believes this step is vital. According to him, war as we know it is changing dramatically, and the situation in Ukraine shows that the battlefield is as much digital now as it is physical. Soldiers have to think fast, adapt, make good decisions under pressure, and coordinate with their mates, just like seasoned gamers do, and games can offer that realistic mental practice. To add some friendly competition into the mix, the Army is also inviting militaries from about 40 countries to the International Defense Esports Games, or IDEG for short. This global event is designed to challenge teams in ways that improve their cyber skills and test their ability to work together strategically, using the kind of technology and fast thinking that contemporary warfare demands. It's a fascinating way to keep the training up to date and possibly set a global benchmark on how modern forces approach readiness. But, as you might expect, not everyone's convinced that gaming can truly stand in for real-life battlefield experience. Critics have pointed out that, no matter how immersive a game is, it can't fully recreate the physical and emotional pressures of actual combat. They argue that the unpredictability of real-life situations, the noise, chaos, and very human reactions of soldiers under fire, are too complex to be taught through a controller and a headset. Still, there's a growing belief amongst military leaders that if you want to reach recruits where they're at, you've got to use the language of today's digital natives. This means adapting training so soldiers can not only apply traditional skills, but also develop a deep familiarity with the latest digital tools and tactics. What's especially interesting is the balance the Army is trying to strike between tried and true hands-on training and emerging virtual methods. Game-based exercises offer a unique chance for soldiers to experience complex scenarios, learn from mistakes in a low-risk setting, and reinforce decision-making skills before ever stepping onto a real training ground or deploying overseas. The British defense strategy sees this as a way to build confidence and agility, two qualities that can make a world of difference on any mission. Gamification also has another benefit. It helps keep training fresh, relevant, and more likely to hold the attention of younger soldiers. Today's recruits often grew up playing games, so being able to train in an environment that feels familiar might make the learning stick a bit better. The cultural crossover between gaming and military life has never been more prominent. Take the International Defense Esports Games, for example. It's not just about fun and bragging rights, but also about exposing military professionals to high-level cyber tactics they might use on the job. With over 40 countries expected to get involved, the IDEG could also become a proving ground for sharing best practices and building relationships that go beyond the game itself. Plus, the competitive spirit fostered in esports might translate over to better morale and sharper teamwork among participating defense forces. Some military observers have pointed out that digital tournaments like IDEG help develop a unique hybrid skill set where old-school soldiering meets the demands of the cyber era. This blending of virtual and physical training environments is just one example of how the tech landscape is influencing security worldwide. On the topic of tech and society, there are a couple more updates making headlines this week. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, is hosting a series of discussions centered on emerging technology and digital rights. These events are a way for experts, advocates, and the everyday public to explore how current technology is shaping laws, policies, and our privacy in ways that we're only just starting to reckon with. There's never been a more important time to engage in conversations about the balance between technological progress and our fundamental rights, especially as more personal data ends up in the cloud and on the blockchain. The EFF sessions aren't just about raising awareness. They're about empowering people with knowledge so we can all help steer the digital future in the right direction. Meanwhile, the open source hardware community is buzzing about Arduino's latest changes to their terms of service. Arduino, known for its commitment to accessible technology, has reaffirmed its open source roots, but is also evolving how it handles privacy and community relations. Their updated terms make it clear that they value transparency and user control just as much as innovation and practical hardware for creators and engineers. In a digital world where even seemingly harmless devices can collect mountains of data, it's encouraging to see organizations taking user privacy seriously. The big picture here is that whether you're in the military, building devices at home, or surfing the web, the intersection of technology and human life keeps mutating rapidly. Each new development, whether it's a game-based training tool or a term of service update, asks us to think about how we use technology and who benefits from it. Back to the British Army's gaming initiative. It's worth noting just how widespread gaming has become, not just as entertainment, but as a legitimate professional skill set. Australia, too, is watching these developments with interest, since our own Defence Force is considering how to modernise training and recruitment in a competitive and tech-savvy world. Using video games as a training tool is about far more than just shooting digital targets. It's about building mental resilience, practicing rapid problem-solving, and forging stronger units. People sometimes mix up gaming with escapism, but as these programs show, when used strategically, gaming can provide a safe space to learn, adapt, and prepare for high-stakes jobs. The Army isn't ditching boots-on-the-ground drills, but it is diversifying how it builds up the next generation's capabilities. Virtual training scenarios allow for mistakes without severe consequences, letting recruits test ideas, get instant feedback, and repeat exercises as often as needed. Instructors say that when trainees fail inside a game and try again, the lessons stick sharper, which could translate to better results when it counts in the real world. Another huge upside is that digital simulations can be updated quickly to match emerging threats and new military doctrines, faster than traditional manuals can be rewritten. This kind of agility is essential for modern armies facing unpredictable opponents and the ever-changing landscape of conflict. Still, it's not a universal fix. Some training still demands hands-on practice, physical fitness, and real-time human interaction. As military experts have pointed out, you can't replicate every hardship of combat in a virtual environment, and the physical toll is just as significant as the mental. The Army is clear that gaming will complement, not replace, the tough exercises and teamwork required for actual operations. The goal is to use video games and advanced simulation as another tool to round out training and get soldiers ready for whatever comes their way. What's also important, and sometimes overlooked, is how these digital training tools can be used to build new skills in cybersecurity and electronic warfare. As defense forces everywhere digitalize their missions, they'll need both trigger-ready soldiers and keyboard warriors, sharpened for cyber battlefields. That may be where Britain's latest training experiment really shines, serving as a model for merging the physical and digital domains of warfare. We're likely to see this approach spread as other nations, Australia among them, tackle the same challenges and opportunities. The skills you pick up in Call of Duty, like reading the battlefield, communicating in a team, and managing stress, are starting to look a lot more relevant in military life. The question is, how do you weigh the value of virtual teamwork and digital reflexes against time-honored battle drills and live-fire exercises? Military leaders are planning to keep both sides in the training mix, with the hope of creating a new hybrid generation of soldiers who can operate as flexibly as modern conflicts demand. And with the popularity of esports on the rise, alongside new tech for virtual reality and artificial intelligence, the spectrum of what's possible for training keeps expanding. Whether or not you agree with this move, it signals a huge shift in how militaries value different skills and backgrounds. In the past, a gaming hobby might have raised eyebrows at recruitment, but today, it could be an asset on your CV. It's also another sign of how global trends ripple across Australian tech and defence thinking, as we keep pace with our international partners. Updates like those from EFF and Arduino are part of a wider push for transparency, user protection, and ethical progress in tech. As more fields start to overlap, think hardware, software, law, ethics, and now, military science, there's greater pressure to get things right from the start. What's unfolding right now is a new phase in the relationship between people and machines, one where neither operates in isolation. Governments, open source organizations, and private industry are all discovering that cooperation is key if we want real security, privacy, and progress for everyone. We're seeing different communities, hackers, gamers, engineers, and activists, shape not just the future of technology, but the very essence of training itself. And as Australia and other countries watch how these experiments play out, we face our own questions about responsibility, innovation, and inclusivity in shaping defense strategies. Whether it's privacy policies, digital rights, or rethinking what it takes to prepare for a mission, the big lesson is that we can't afford to ignore the role technology plays. It's a reminder that every tool, be it a console, a circuit board, or a data protection guideline, is shaped by the people who use it. I'll be keeping an eye on how these concepts develop, especially as more players enter the field and the international spotlight shines brighter on initiatives like the IDEG. If you're thinking about a career in defense, or are just passionate about the intersections of tech and society, there's never been a more exciting time to get involved. Whether you see gaming as a clever recruitment tool or a real method for developing life or death skills, it's clear that the conversation on tech in defense is only just getting started. And as gaming continues to bridge entertainment with vital training, it could reshape how the next generation of military professionals prepare for whatever the future brings. That's all for this week's look at the ways gaming and technology are shaking up battlefields, defending our rights, and preparing us for the unknown. Thanks for listening.